There are accident reports that follow a pattern. The weather was fine, the aircraft was airworthy, the pilot was licensed and current, but something felt different after they loaded four people and bags and topped off the tanks. The climb felt sluggish, the pitch felt loose, the stall did not break and recover the way it did in training, and by the time they understood what was wrong, understanding did not help anymore. Today on Traffic Pattern, we are talking about weight and balance. Not the version you memorize for the oral exam. The version that explains what is actually happening to your aircraft when the numbers go outside the envelope. I am Pattern, and you're on Radio Hangar. Before we dig in, a quick shout out to AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every stage of the pilot journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, commercial, each milestone has a coin. It is a great way to mark the moments that actually matter to a pilot. AviationSoul.com. Alright, let's talk about what weight and balance actually is, not the definition for the exam version. Weight and balance is two separate questions, and most students treat it like one. Question 1, are we at or below the maximum gross weight? That one is straightforward. You add up the aircraft empty weight, the passengers, the bags, and the fuel, and you compare it to the max gross in the pilot's operating handbook, or POH. If you're at or below that number, you are legal on weight. Question 2, is the center of gravity, or CG, inside the allowable limits? That one is more nuanced, and that is where the actual safety problem lives. Here's something I wish someone told me early in training. You can be completely within the weight limit and completely outside the CG limit at the same time. The two checks are independent. An aircraft loaded properly on weight but with an aft CG can be just as dangerous as one that is overweight. The math is different. The check is different. You have to do both. So, how do we calculate CG? Every aircraft has a reference point called the datum, established by the manufacturer. Think of it as the zero mark on a ruler laid along the length of the aircraft. In most light aircraft, the datum is somewhere near the nose or the firewall. Every station in the aircraft, every seat, every fuel tank, every baggage compartment, has a measured distance from that datum called the arm, measured in inches. Multiply any item's weight by its arm and you get its moment, measured in inch pounds. Add up all the individual moments, add up all the individual weights. Divide total moments by total weight, and the result is the CG location in inches from the datum. Then you go to the CG envelope chart in your POH, plot your weight on one axis and your CG location on the other. If the point falls inside the envelope, you are within limits. If it falls outside, you are not flying that day in that configuration. Now here is where students usually stop. They get inside the envelope at departure, write it down, and hand it to the examiner. Procedure complete. But the examiner is likely going to ask the follow-up question. That follow-up is what separates people who learn the form from people who understand the concept. The question is, does the CG stay inside the envelope for the entire flight? Fuel burns off as you fly, and depending on where the fuel tanks are located relative to the datum, burning fuel moves the CG. In a high-wing aircraft, like the Cessna 172, the wing tanks have an arm fairly close to the typical CG range, so the shift during fuel burn is relatively small. In other aircraft configurations, especially those with tip tanks or auxiliary tanks located well forward or well aft, burning fuel can move the CG significantly. You can depart inside the envelope and arrive outside it. That is a real scenario and it has caused accidents. The proper approach is to calculate CG at three points: full fuel at departure, at your expected fuel state at the midpoint of the flight, and at your planned minimum fuel on arrival. All three need to be inside the envelope, not just the departure condition, all three. Let me talk about why the forward and aft CG limits exist, because if you understand the reason, you will never forget the concept. Forward CG means the nose is heavy. The aircraft has a natural tendency to pitch nose down. The horizontal stabilizer has to generate a downward force to counteract that tendency. When the CG is far forward, you need significant back pressure on the elevator to rotate on takeoff to maintain climb attitude, and especially to flare on landing. In extreme forward CG conditions, the elevator may not have enough authority to rotate the aircraft at all. You run out of backstick travel before the nose comes up. Stall speed is also higher with a forward CG. The aircraft requires more angle of attack to fly, which means more elevator back pressure, which means more work from the horizontal tail, which translates to a higher stall speed across the board. The forward limit is the point beyond which the aircraft cannot be safely rotated, climbed, or flared. Aft CG is a different problem, and in most cases a more dangerous one. With an aft CG, the aircraft is pitch sensitive. Small elevator inputs produce large pitch changes. The controls feel light and responsive. A pilot who does not know what is happening might actually enjoy that feeling for a while. The aircraft responds readily, it climbs easily, it seems alive under the controls until they get slow. Here is the core danger of an aft CG in a stall. When a wing stalls, the nose needs to drop, that is, the recovery. Gravity and the pitch-down tendency of the horizontal stabilizer push the nose forward. The angle of attack decreases, the wing unstalls, and you fly away. The entire stall recovery depends on that pitch-down tendency. When the CG is aft of limits, the pitch-down tendency is gone or reversed. The aircraft is nose-up heavy. The tail has less leverage to push the nose forward. In a severe aft CG condition, the stall becomes self-reinforcing. The nose wants to rise, deepening the stall angle. The disturbed airflow from this stalled wing can blanket the horizontal stabilizer, reducing or eliminating elevator authority. The aircraft enters what pilots sometimes call a deep stall or a locked-in stall, and there is no recovery available. That aft limit in your POH is not a conservative cushion. It is the edge of the tested envelope. Outside it, the manufacturer does not certify the aircraft's stall behavior. That is the line. Let me talk about the mistakes students commonly make, because they are specific and avoidable. Mistake one is using approximate passenger weights instead of actual ones. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, publishes standard weights you can use for planning. 180 pounds per adult, for example. Those are fine for a ballpark estimate, but for the check ride, use actual weights. The difference between a 160-pound passenger and a 220-pound passenger in the rear seat changes the CG calculation in a meaningful way. Mistake two is not accounting for the baggage compartment correctly. The baggage area in most light aircraft has a long arm, meaning it sits far aft of the datum. Even a modest amount of weight back there, 30 or 40 pounds of bags, pushes the CG noticeably aft. Students sometimes add bags after completing the weight and balance calculation, or they underestimate the weight of what they are loading. Mistake three is using the wrong basic empty weight. Every aircraft has been weighed since manufacture. The basic empty weight and CG are recorded in the aircraft records, usually in the airframe logbook or a separate weight and balance document. Those numbers are specific to that airplane. The generic numbers in the back of a published POH are a starting point, not the final word, for the check ride, and for every flight. Use the actual aircraft records. Mistake four is not calculating through fuel burn. We covered this, but it deserves emphasis. Calculate at departure, at cruise, and at landing. Three data points, all three inside the envelope. Let me give you two scenarios that show how this plays out on a real flight. Scenario one, you're taking three friends up in a Cessna 172 for a short local flight. You're in the left seat. Your heaviest friend ends up in the right rear seat because the front was already occupied. Two bags go in the baggage compartment. Tanks are full. The rear seats and the baggage compartment have the longest arms in the aircraft. A heavy passenger there plus loaded bags equals a significant aft pushing force on the CG. Depending on the actual weights involved, you may be near or past the aft CG limit before you ever push the throttle. The 172 is a well-designed aircraft with reasonable margins, but four adults and bags will test those margins. Run the numbers first. If the CG is aft of center, swap seating assignments so the heavier passengers are forward, or take weight out of the baggage compartment. Scenario 2, you are flying a two-place trainer solo on a local flight. You, the aircraft empty weight, and a nearly full fuel load. CG at departure is inside the envelope, slightly aft of center. 2 hours later, you have burned most of the fuel. The tanks in this aircraft sit forward of the CG range. As you burned fuel from those forward tanks, the CG drifted aft. You are now close to the aft limit. The airplane has been handling fine, maybe a bit light on the controls, but you chalked it up to smooth air. Now you're on final, slow, and the aircraft pitches easily in both directions. Know this going in. Check the fuel burn CG shift before you depart. Do not encounter it for the first time on approach. Now let me talk about what the Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, requires on the check ride. The practical test for private pilot requires you to demonstrate weight and balance knowledge, including the effect of adverse loading. The examiner will give you a loading scenario and ask you to calculate. They want to see you open the POH to the correct section, use the loading tables or charts, and document the result. But more than the math, they want to hear you explain what the result means. If your CG is at the forward limit, can you describe what the aircraft will feel like on rotation and during the landing flare? If it is aft of center, can you explain the stall recovery concern? The answer that tells the examiner you are ready sounds like this. We are within limits, but we are near the aft end of the envelope. I would want to verify that fuel burn does not push us further aft as the flight progresses, and I would pay particular attention to pitch sensitivity and stall characteristics. That is the answer of someone thinking about flying the aircraft, not just completing a form. The answer that concerns an examiner is, yes, we are in the green. Technically not wrong, practically incomplete. The examiner's looking for depth, not just accuracy. They want to know that when you hand back that weight and balance sheet, you understand what the numbers predict about how the aircraft will behave from rotation to rollout. Here's the broader point I want to leave you with. Weight and balance is a preview of how your aircraft will fly. An aft-loaded aircraft is going to feel different on approach and in slow flight. A forward-loaded aircraft is going to feel heavy on the controls during rotation and flare. Knowing where you are in the envelope tells you what to expect. And knowing what to expect is how you stay ahead of the aircraft. The FAA, aircraft manufacturers, and general aviation accident data all say the same thing. Adverse loading is a factor in more accidents than most pilots expect. The math is not hard. The discipline of doing it thoroughly every time for every flight is what makes the difference. Data and guidance for this segment came from the FAA, the Airman Certification Standards, and Cessna Pilot Operating Handbooks. More on weight and balance and checkride prep at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Stay ahead of the aircraft. See you next time.